Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We come to the end of our summer sermon series, and this week we look at Love God and Love Others as Yourself. Our talk is by Fabian Wirtz, our vicar, and the reading is taken from Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. We begin with our memory verse taken from this passage. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
This week's memory verse is a really well-known one and a really simple one. So let's try and see if we can hold on to that, at least for this service, if not for the rest of the week. And it really speaks to us about our theme, doesn't it? So shall we say it all together? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself.
So our Bible reading today puts into context our memory verse. It comes from Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40, the greatest commandment. And certainly one that's been important down the ages, but particularly important for our current time in the world. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. This is the word of the Lord.
So I wonder how many of you actually know where the church office is and whether you've ever been in our church office. So for those who do not know or have never visited the church office, you need to go through the door at the back there by the servery, turn right, and it will say church office. And there are two rooms. So as you open the door, not today, but on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, from 9 to 3:30, you will first be met by our lovely administrator, Glenys. And then if you enter and turn left, you will be met by another very lovely person called your vicar. That's the office on the left, if I'm there. And if you go into my office, you will see that there is a whiteboard there with actually nothing really on it, just a sentence that's on the very top. It's been there for, actually, I think a few years, even before COVID, and that's what the sentence says. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. You can still see it's there. It's kind of, you have to look maybe because it's about 2 or 3 years, but that's what's on the board. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. It's easy to write, it's not easy to live. It's not easy, we are filled with distractions, people and needs that shout for our attention. And we easily overcommit ourselves, me included. We spread ourselves thin. And at times, we lack this sense of purpose and direction. We lose focus. We lose to keep the main thing the main thing. So what matters most in life? Well, Jesus made it clear that what matters most in life is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second most important is similar. Love your neighbor as yourself. For Jesus, there are the two things in life that are the most important, more valuable than anything else. Love God and love others. all others, no exception. And if you get those two things right, then, in a way, you got in life right. And it is quite different from what we generally hear life is all about. For some, life is all about acquisition. It's how much I can get out of this situation. For others, life is about accomplishment and achievements. How much you do, how much you earn, what difference you are making in our world. Now, of course, achievements, accomplishments are important. This week we had the GCSEs results, and we are very proud parents of Raphael, who did very well, who achieved, worked very hard. Week before we had the A-levels. And it's healthy, of course, to look back at your work and have a sense of pride and satisfaction, a job well done. That's what it means to be a human being. And I also think that there is nothing inherently evil in wealth, in enjoying material blessings, in going into the world and do new things and be an entrepreneur. But the question that Jesus asks is, with those things, who do you really serve? Because according to Jesus, we can only serve one master. He says, or you will serve wealth, money, or we could put here achievements, accomplishments, positions, fame, or you will serve God. And Jesus has really strong words. He says, you will always end up loving one and hating the other. If you serve wealth and live for wealth, then wealth will become your master, and you'll miss the point. But if wealth is the way you are expressing your service and your love to God and to others, then God is the controlling force, and you get life, and you can use and express wealth in a good way. And similarly, with achievements or accomplishments, if those are the things you serve, then they will become your master. But if you use your talents and your skills and your abilities and the way you are made up for service to God and to others, then God will be the controlling factor of your achievements and your accomplishments. Your contribution to this world will, in one way, honor and manifest and glorify God here on earth. There will be part of His heavenly rule coming down to earth. Maybe a helpful way to think about this is when we realize that there is 100% fact in life, and that's that we will all die. And when we die, we can't take our career with us. We can't take our wealth with us. We can't take our position or our fame with us. The only thing we can take with us is our character, is who we have become through this life on earth. And so we have 60 to 90, for those who are, we could say, lucky or blessed, sometimes less, but we have about that span on earth to do the two things well, the two things that Jesus says. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love anybody else. And of course, for Jesus and those who are hearing at the time of Jesus, that was not new. It's actually at the heart of the Jewish faith. It's called the Shema, and there's some debate whether it's just this or they were saying other things, but in general, a pious Jew would say that at least twice a day as part of their worship. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's what you find in the Old Testament. Now, you realize that, oh, there is a word missing here, or it's a bit different. We said heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why is it so? Well, in Jewish thinking at the time, the person wasn't divided into three parts, like more the Greek, you know, the soul, the body, and the mind. They were all part of who you are, but there were various expressions or ways of thinking about what it means to be a human person. And so the heart, in Jewish thinking, included not just the emotions. Maybe today we think about heart with emotions and feeling, but also the mind and the thinking. So heart and mind was included in that idea of love God with all your heart. And then the strength, or here the might, was the place of action. And to do action in the world, you need your body. That's how you put into practice what your mind has decided or what your mind has thought through. And so those are the action that you do. And the soul, or the ruha, or the breath, is what makes us different than the rest of the created animals and things like that. Is this idea of being conscious and making choice, that we are people who can and must make choice. We have a will, conscious choosing and persevering. And so we have those four words in the New Testament in other places: heart, mind, soul, and strength. Our thinking, how we use our mind, our intellect, our thoughts, our feeling, our emotions, which brings us about the ability to care, to be compassionate, to protect, and to communicate and encourage. Our will, that's our power to decide, to choose, but also to persevere. And our acting and our action, our doing, the concrete works we do in this world. And although we are called as Christians to love God in all those areas, we also have different makeup. And for some people, it's easier to grow in one area than the others. For example, if you are a thinker, you love the intellect, you love the mind, and you love to take time to read books, to learn, and the world needs thinkers. And for those who it's predominant, developing those strengths, learning, studying, is an act of worship. Somebody has to be thinking about sometimes complex and difficult issues, about the implication of what the rest of us are doing. We need people who think through difficult problems and bring solutions to the table. We need professors and teachers and scientists and specialists. But maybe thinking, or in a sense of being a thinker, it's not who you are. Maybe you are more a feeler. And the world needs feelers. In Scripture, you have all kind of emotion described. The Bible speaks of people who are downcast, disturbed, satisfied, yearning, troubled, joyful, bitter, thirsty, hungry, rejoicing, and delighted. And feelers cares deeply about issues, about people, and about seeing God at work in those areas. They can empathize with other people's pain and problems. Feelers are often compassionate people, creative people, and we need people like counselors and psychologists and nurses and carers and artists and writers. But maybe you are more people who likes to take decisions, make things happen. You love to lead. You want to see things through. And the world needs you too. The world needs good manager, good leaders, people with that spirit of entrepreneurship. Those people bring others together. They create a context for your skills and your passions to find an expression. They energize you, they stretch you, and they instill in you a desire to excel and to do well. And the last category, maybe you are more a practical person, a doer. You like to get your hands dirty, and you like to do practical things. And the world needs doers too. They push things forward, they make things happen in practical ways. Doers are here because the world needs practical contributions. They get the job done. So we are called to love God with all our mind, with all our strength, with all our soul, and with all our, which one I forgot, heart. But also, you have a particular makeup, and you can express that with gratitude. You call to God, to love God with all your faculties and in the way He has shaped you. And we are called to love others. But maybe we need to pause, because we hear a lot about love in our world. It's in the songs, it's in the poems. But what is really love in Scripture? What is actually, what do we actually mean by loving God and loving others? Well, in this passage, love is a command. And when God commands us to do something, He also enables us. He will give us and you and me the power, the ability to do it, to love. And so love isn't just a feeling. It includes our feeling, but it's not a feeling. Because we can't always control our feeling. We might wake up and look next, see our partner, and maybe not really feel in love when we see them in the morning, you know, with their hair, or certainly my wife, I don't think she really is in love when she sees me in the morning. As you remember last week, I need my coffee, you know, I'm a disaster without a coffee. But we make a choice, because love is not just a command, it's a choice. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, a church full of conflicts, with problems, with jealousy and sexual immorality and pride and competition, he says this: go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. As if your life as a faith community depends on it. Love is at the heart. You have to choose. When you go after something, it means you make that a choice. You choose to love, or you choose not to love. And it is often an important test in close relationship, like marriage, acting in love when you don't feel like it. It's actually a higher level of love than when you do feel like it. Someone said, it's one thing to love when the flowers are in bloom. Can you imagine those beautiful flowers? Not difficult to love them. But the real test of love is in the winter, when things are not going great. So you can choose to love others like God loves you, in spite of how you feel. You can give the other person what they need, not what they deserve. And so love for the Bible is a command, it's a choice, and it's a conduct, it's a way of life. In one of the epistles it says, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our action. Every day, God will put opportunities around us to demonstrate our love to Him and our love for others. And so it's a way of living, and it's finally that commitment. It's a lifelong commitment to grow in loving God better and loving others better. God is love. If we keep on loving others, we will stay one in our hearts with God, and He will stay one with us. If we keep on loving others. So to conclude, Jesus made it very clear that what matters most in this life is to love God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. And your love for others is actually that expression of your love for God. It's that reflection of God's love, how you love your spouse, your family, your church community, your colleagues, or anyone you meet through a day. In that wonderful passage that's often read in weddings, 1 Corinthians 13, it ends with, love never stops being patient. Never stops believing, never stops hoping, never gives up. And that's how God loves you. God never stops loving you. He never stops being patient with you. He never stops believing in you. He never stops hoping for the best in your life. He never stops, and he never gives up on you. And so God wants you to love others, and at least to grow in the same way. To use your brain, your mind, your thoughts, your thinking, to use your heart, your ability to care, to protect, to have compassion, to use your will, your decision-making, and to use your strength, your actions. So how will you respond this morning? And I was thinking about that, and I think the Holy Spirit wants to bring to mind, at least to each of us, one person he wants you to love better. Remember, we cannot say we love God with all our hearts, minds, soul, and strength, and fail to express that love to real people. So who is God calling you to love better as an expression of your love to him? It might be someone that has been niggling quite a while, and you don't find it difficult to think of. You know, that's the first name that sprung to your mind. It might be a community of people. You might know for a while that you've been postponing or resisting or finding all kinds of distractions and excuses not to think, not to choose, not to make a difference. It could be a spouse, a child, a brother, a sister, a family member, a colleague, a friend, a neighbor. If you think of that person, in that relationship, is there something you have stopped doing? Or it's just too hard? You've not persevered, you've lacked that strength. Or is there something you need to start doing, but you're putting excuse or procrastinating, not using your will, your ability to make that choice? Use your mind, use your heart, use your will, and use your doing as you think of that person. But I think if it's a challenging circumstances, it's also important to be accountable to someone for the changes you want to make. And so who might that person be? Who might be the person to help you to love the person you have in mind better? Tell that friend that you trust. Tell the things you want to see happening and the thing you will work towards so that they can pray with you, they can encourage you, but also they can hold you to account and sometimes challenge you. Love God and love others as ourselves. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. And Jesus summarized that. Now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. That's what we sang in our praise time. So as we continue to think about maybe that person, that group of person, and as I lead into a short prayer, make that prayer your own prayer. Heavenly Father, we surrender our lives to you once more. We want to learn to live our lives dwelling in and filled with your love. This week, help me to put your love into practice with the person you are showing me now, and with everyone I will be meeting. May my thoughts, my actions, my words, and my choices honor and glorify you. May they bring something of your heavenly purposes here on earth. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.